Gallup, I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is the Gallup Podcast. In this episode, we explore Gallup's latest findings on the Black experience at work and in the workplace. Camille Lloyd is Executive Director of the Gallup Center on Black Voices. She is also co-host of the Cultural Competence Podcast. Camille, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back, Bo.
First, let me ask you, why did the center want to focus on the Black experience at work?
So for obvious reasons, Mo, when you think about just the length of time the average person spends at work and how that impacts their quality of life, I think research shows the average person over their lifetime will spend, 90,000 hours at work. When you think about how that will impact your quality of life, that is something that we knew was important when you think about, just what are the facets of Black Americans' life that it's important for us to understand what their experiences are. So that's primary, thinking about how much time we spend at work. The other thing is work is also the very tool that we use to advance ourselves. And if as part of our mission at the center, we want to understand the impact that systemic exclusion and oppression has had on Black Americans and our ability to achieve equitable life outcomes. Jobs and work is a natural research area because if you look at work as that very tool that we use to apply our abilities and capabilities to, enable our sustainability, if that makes sense. And so understanding what that Black Americans' experience are in those environments was critical for us to know what are those levers that we need to pull and where change needs to come from.
I love that focus because so much of the public conversation about being Black in America, especially in the news, tends to be focused on policing, the criminal justice system, and so much of anyone's experience in life goes far, far beyond that. The other reason I just love that you all are tackling this with the center, Camille, is, what a long time ago somebody told me, no matter where you are in the world, people ask, where are you from? Or like, who's your family? In America, people ask, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And when you think about how central work is really just to American identity, and then the disparate experiences Black Americans we know have had just from the data that has been gathered, it really gets to the core of not only financial well-being, but also just emotional well-being of a person living in a society where what you do kind of defines how people see you, how you present yourself to the larger society.
Exactly. And take it an even deeper, Mo, when you think about this concept of work and using your capabilities as that thing to advance you, and just thinking about the history of Black Americans and how we came to this country and the fact that free labor inhibit our ability to build wealth, to advance ourselves as a people. Jobs and work and what we do run so deep to our Black experience.
Man, that is such a powerful point. Okay, so what did we learn in this series? What were the most critical findings that you kind of caught your eye?
The most critical findings so far, and as we're continuing to unpack the data, really finding a lot of nuggets, Mo, for me, is the amount, what that experience is like for Black Americans at work. I think it's one of those points that get debated a lot, and that's because we have federal and state law protections against discrimination at work. And a recent study this past summer that shows that Black workers were 5 times more likely to say discrimination is an issue at their workplace compared to white workers. And when you have two large groups kind of just, the way they see the workplace can be so vastly different. I think for me, the findings is showing that number of Black and Hispanic workers, as a matter of fact, that were reporting that they'd experienced discrimination within the last 12 months. Quantifying that experience kind of, for me, removes all point of debate and doubt, and whether or not, despite our best efforts to have laws and protections for workers, that people's experience still differ according to their race and ethnicity. That has been one of the most enlightening finding for me. The other is around the impact that seeing someone like you, either at work as a peer, and also as a leader, and how important that is for workers overall, but specifically what we see in the data for Black workers and the impact that seeing a leader that looks like you have on the way you experience your work environment, the aspirations and opportunities you see for development and advancement at work. And I think there is that component about how well you feel like you are able to succeed in those environments,
yeah,
as well as being able to feel empowered to speak up when you're being mistreated. And I think that's the aspect that's also very important. If we know that Black workers are disproportionately experiencing mistreatment and discrimination, seeing a Black leader being feeling more empowered to speak up when something is happening to you, I think is remarkable in terms of the impact that these findings can have on workplaces.
And it was fascinating to see, you know, in the data, those respondents, of course, they were all employed because this was a study of employed respondents. All those who were Black that said they have Black leadership at some level in their company, their assessments of their workplace and just of their experience at work on so many metrics were so dramatic in their differences than those who were Black workers who didn't have that kind of leadership. It really was a very powerful example of the importance, really, of Black leadership in all kinds of roles. I mean, it's something, it's kind of a giveaway, or not a giveaway, but what is it? Like a throwaway line, you know, we need more mm-hmm. Black leaders. What's fascinating about these data is it really shows numerically the impact having a leader that looks like you in your workplace really does have just on your larger experience with the job at large.
Absolutely, Mo. And that's one thing at the center we're hoping that these data help to contribute to that conversation, is really not just to make the it's the right thing to do to have diverse workplace, to create equal opportunities for all workers, but really the business impact. Right. It makes good business sense. If you were the CEO of a manufacturing company and I told you the processes by which you are manufacturing your product is leading to 10% less utilization or defective and exposure, you wouldn't continue to manufacture that product in that way. And I think when you think about what the experience is like for Black workers, that's why it's important. If you're thinking about the impacts that having diverse and inclusive workplaces have on Black employees and other racial minorities, and being able to help with productivity, creating workplaces where individuals can come, feel comfortable being themselves, and feeling empowered to give their best selves, and what that means for organizational outcomes, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer when it comes to why this is important for workplaces. It's critical that workplaces do these for the right reasons, but also for the business case. You're paying these people 100% of the time. So if you're creating an environment that might be impacting you getting 100% of their effort and their thoughts and their innovation, you would want to change that.
I wanted to ask you, Camille, about preparedness to have these conversations as an employer. One of the things you all studied is how empowered, ready, informed leaders in the workplace felt to really start talking about challenges along the lines of inclusion, diversity, et cetera. Tell us about some of those findings.
The ability for managers to feel capable of having some of these difficult conversations, I think, is an easy lever. A lot of these conversations, a difficult conversation, sometimes it's going to be, for some organizations, the first time they talk about issues of race, issues of mistreatment, and issues of discrimination. And I think the ability for managers to feel like they are equipped to have these conversations, I feel like, is the uncomfortable part. And it's going to be uncomfortable for a lot of organizations, a lot of leaders, a lot of managers. But I believe that that's how you accomplish change, is moving ourselves into those uncomfortable situations, because that's where we're going to be able to get breakthroughs when it comes to how do we create an environment where everyone can come in and feel like they can be who they are and they can contribute to their organization's mission in a meaningful way without the inhibiting factors of feeling invalidated, feeling like you're being mistreated. And I think even though it's going to be uncomfortable, I feel like that's what growth is.
What do you tell, I know in your, you know, other job at Gallup, when you're not doing this amazing work with your team at the Center for Black Voices, you're always working with organizations that really are dealing with very real challenges in the workplace with huge teams. If one of those, or maybe they have, so if one of your clients picked up the phone and said, Camille, I want to start exploring how to address this issue within my organization, but I'm afraid, I don't want to open up a box of hurt and disappointment and disengagement amongst everybody. These are very difficult topics, whether it's discrimination, whether it's leadership. How do I do so without it backfiring and blowing up in my face?
So I think one of the things where organizations sometimes, and this is completely my opinion, gets thrown off course is creating this sense of it's a zero sum game. It's by creating more inclusive environments, you're not limiting other individuals in those environments. And I think it's somehow just the way we apply our efforts can sometimes get steered into those avenues where it becomes, in order to give Black workers more opportunities for advancement or more opportunities to contribute meaningfully, it would mean taking opportunities away from others within the workplace. And I think if we can steer away from that notion, thinking about it as if I look around my organization and there are no representation in leadership when it comes to what my workforce look like, the amount of individuals that can say, when I look around, I see leaders that look like me or leaders like me, you can think about that as an immediate triage. But that really should just be one aspect of what it is that you're doing to create an inclusive environment. If you are, it's really an expansion. It's think about it as a pie. And if you've only just kind of maximized, you know, two-thirds or you know, half of that, it's really saying you have a whole other half or whole other third of that pie that you really haven't tapped. And so rather than thinking away of, I need to take a slice away from you, Mo, to give a slice to Camille or to give a slice to someone else, but it's rather that we're making our pie bigger or we're leveraging more sections of our pie that we might not have been utilizing and tapping. So that's one aspect is saying when you're dealing with the manifestations of inequities and what you are implementing in terms of changes, is to be careful in terms of not creating that impression that you have to take opportunities away from other folks to give to racial and ethnic minorities or traditionally marginalized groups within your environment. So that's one thing. The other thing is really understanding what you get from inclusive work and inclusive environment and inclusive cultures. It's that showing up. I mentioned it earlier in terms of the business case. It's that being able to ensure that you're tapping every potential for every employee, that you're not missing out because you're paying everybody. And what you want to do is to ensure that the environment that you have is providing everyone those equal opportunities to show up and to give you their very best.
So in contrast to sort of thinking about it as splitting a pie, it's really more about growing your pie. Mm-hmm. And this is where the diversity and inclusion remind me, although I know it's very different and complementary to engagement, but it's the same concept where you focus on the human factor in your most valuable asset, which is your team, your people, no matter what you do, that's where the real growth will come from, as opposed to simply looking outward into the world and trying to find growth only through that measure.
Yeah. And if you're an organization that innovation is important to you, think about what that untapped potential can yield for you. And if you look at it that way, then it's not a matter of taking away to give someone else. If you think about that, there are probably products that you could have invented that you haven't invented yet because you don't have equitable systems. To think about services and offerings that you could be giving to your customer or better ways for meeting your customer's needs. Think about that to saying, I'm expanding my potential to be able to be the best organization that I can, whatever my mission is, or to be the very best provider of whatever service it is that you are providing.
Camille, I want to ask you, where can people go to learn more on the findings from this specific series you all did on the experience at work, but also what's next for the Center on Black Voices?
So in terms of where you go to find our research findings, you can go to our website on Gallup.com and get and subscribe to get access to findings as we're coming out. We are just in the beginning stages, Mo, of unpacking this research on jobs and work pillar. It is one of the largest studies of recent that allows for that ability. When we started out in the center, and I was here earlier last year, we talk about the ability to unpack, but at a subgroup level, at those different intersectionalities within the Black experience. And so that's what we're doing with these data. We are drilling deep down in terms of understanding what that workplace experience is like for Black workers, being able to know, for instance, that while discrimination is an issue for all Black workers, it's really hardest for our younger Black workers. And when you think about what the future of our workforce is and the future of work, having majority of Black workers or twice as many Black workers that are under 40 saying that they have experienced discrimination at work within the last 12 months, that's a huge point for us to kind of figure out what do we need to do to in terms of making our workplaces better. So we're going to be unpacking these findings. We're going to look at what that case looks like in terms of the impact of these experiences on Black workers and key organizational outcomes. So it's making those linkages to see what are those patterns that are coming out in workplaces. And that's kind of saying, yes, while creating inclusive environments is the right thing to do, here's what the costs are for you as an organization if you don't have an inclusive environment. So making those cases and linkages to organizational outcomes to understand the impact on workers, impact on worker productivity, impact on workers' ability to stay. I think when you think about the future of the workplace, talent acquisition, work organizations are going to have to compete for the best and the brightest. And therefore, when I think about it, whether or not you have an inclusive workplace will no longer be a choice.
What a note to end on. And I'm going to shamelessly say, if you're listening to this and you're wondering, how can the Gallup Center for Black Voices team up with my city, team up with my workplace to tackle some of these issues? Don't hesitate to email us here at the podcast or email me and Camille. We are always on the lookout for creating impactful, sustainable change through solid research that really does tell a deeper story from the voices of people that are experiencing those different walks of life. The Gallup Center for Black Voices, one of my favorite initiatives at Gallup. Camille Lloyd is Executive Director of the Center. Camille, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Mo.
That's our podcast. Thank you for tuning in. To subscribe to the podcast from any podcast app, just search the Gallup Podcast. And for more key findings from Gallup News, go to news.gallup.com or follow us at Gallup News. If you have questions, feedback, or suggestions on topics for future episodes, we want to hear from you. Write to us directly by emailing podcast@gallup.com. This Gallup Podcast is directed by Curtis Grubb and produced by Justin McCarthy. I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is Gallup, reporting on the will of the people since the 1930s.